So it's 102. And we have leading questions Jackson. Without Calvin Moore. No, I already did. I've gotten no response. So our leading question is, where is Calvin Moore? Oh, dive in.
No!
So one beer in, and I clocked in at a .06. It's going to be a long day, Bob.
It's going to be a long day.
Yours was 11%?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll probably catch up to you pretty quick, because mine's going to be 12%.
Okay, so here's it's you have to say shoulder surgery.
Why do I have to say shoulder surgery?
Because it's our test as the day goes on. What was it? Shoulder surgery, judicial system.
Convincing me whether or not to touch my nose. That worked out to be in college. They're like, you know, if you can go like this and touch your nose, then you're not drunk. So the entire rest of the night, I can touch my nose.
We were always we always went, you know, if you can touch your elbows behind your back, then you're not drunk. So what have you been up to? Saw you in Toledo.
Yeah. Went on a date with that guy.
Oh, yeah?
Our leading question's been answered.
Hey! We have the answer to our leading question.
Locked in the car in our bedroom, aren't
we? Hey.
Hey. How are you?
Hey.
I see you as well.
So went on a date.
Hey. How are you?
Good to see you.
Okay.
Okay.
I stayed what? The night in Toledo, obviously. And then... last weekend.
Oh, we're already live. We're leading questions without Calvin Moore
oh,
right now.
Oh, it's on now. Oh, jeez.
We went live at 101.
Well, that's great. It's the first time I've ever been late to my own show. Welcome to Leading Questions with Calvin.
I didn't know we were live.
I didn't know we were live.
I wouldn't have talked about that shit.
I'm like, oh, I'll Dave. Start whenever. No big deal. First live outing, and I'm late for it. So I apologize. My wife got locked in her bedroom.
Oh, there she is.
She got locked in your bedroom.
About to hop in the shower.
You
got to
always leave the key for the handcuffs, Calvin.
Yeah, sorry. The doorknob somehow got snipped on the inside.
Here, Bob, your turn. I swapped out the thing. Blow till it clicks.
Oh, should I blow just to make sure that it's like zeroed out?
You can always blow.
I mean, I will. Pretty much.
Yeah, so my wife got locked in the bedroom. They're a little slight panic. I was totally naked. So that's the reason why I'm late for leading questions with Calvin.
Okay. We started at 1 o'clock as the leading questions without Calvin Moore.
So we are here at Falling Down Beer Company, which is really cool. Thank you guys so much for starting without me. No headphones, so that's cool. So... a lot of stuff going on in the world.
No.
Yeah.
Where are you at? Well, you're a bigger guy.
How many are you? How many are you?
I'm a .06 already.
.06. Okay. I need a beer.
And we just had the same beer in, so.
Okay. I need the high, that same 20%. We got a 20%?
Yeah, just pulls out.
Huh? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, beer in.
So what I wanted to talk about today is kind of a soft lob across the plate. Holy crap, this one's 20%. Sorry, not sorry, triple IPA, mango and pineapple.
That's the anniversary beer.
Sold, son. Yeah. I am sold on that. Come on down to the fourth anniversary Falling Down Beer Company in Warren, Michigan. But anyway, so what I wanted to talk about was this whole Mike Pence thing. This Mike Pence, I will only eat privately with my wife. This whole deal, right?
There's no valid reason for a married man to be out eating with another woman ever. Was that him?
I don't know if that was the statement that was made. I do know that he has taken a conservative stance of... she's coming with some beer. Hold on one sec. Hello.
Oh, this is Ellie Flagg, by the way. What's up?
And Ellie Flagstaff is here with us.
What did I do?
So,
it's
my first time doing it this way. It's kind of crazy.
Huh?
And we're recording too, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool.
She was just like,
hello. Okay, cool. I didn't know.
Cheers,
man.
All right. Working another place.
Oh. We got food. I'm going to order some food too.
Closets.
Okay. Sorry, not sorry. Sure.
Yep. And
if I get drunk enough, I will start speaking German.
Oh boy. Full horse fighters. Yes.
No, this is good.
I know this makes for really great radio.
Just keep it together.
Ordering beers. Falling down.
Wife is ordering.
Fire.
All right. So I want to talk about this whole Mike Pence thing. So Mike Pence,
the Blazing Beaver.
In 2002,
it's got Carolina Reaper peppers in it.
What is this? Are we going to even be able to do this episode? I don't think so.
It's, dude, this is what happens when you do live shows.
Oh, this is fun. This is fun for me.
Here, have
okay.
Some.
All right.
All right. So he only eats now. Is it because he's afraid that someone's going to dose his food?
No.
Or because he thinks it's improper?
No. There's something called the Billy Graham principle. Okay. And so Billy Graham, evangelist.
Only date hookers?
No. No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was Pat Robertson. Sorry.
Correct. Totally different guy.
Sorry.
Right.
Tentacles.
Never told his wife when he was eating with someone, another woman, right?
Or just eating
so,
someone else. Yeah.
So Billy Graham, after one of his evangelistic outings in the cider, went back to a hotel and found a woman lying naked in the room, trying to catch him in a compromising situation. So he ran out immediately, and from then on, he always had a male assistant who would go into the room and check to see if someone was there. This became known as the Billy Graham principle, where a lot of
I feel like that's a problem I would like to have.
But a lot of businessmen who stand a lot, you know, stand to lose a lot, you know, if they're caught in a compromising situation, and a lot of pastors who stand to lose a lot if they're caught in a compromising situation, took this position of, okay, I will not be alone with a woman other than my wife. I can be with women in a group, but I will not be caught alone with a woman. And so Mike Pence, in 2002, they're bringing up a statement from 2002, which I'm fine with bringing up statements from a while ago, but...
So what's your take on Joe Biden creepy hugging and hair sniffing from 13-year-old all the way up to the Queen of England, and no one says anything? Pence says this one thing, and everybody goes bananas.
Well, you know, the baseline now is Donald wanting to bang his own daughter. So that.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Will we?
Yeah, we're going to get there.
8 years, nobody said anything about Biden, Creepy Joe, Uncle Creepy Joe.
He's your harmless, lecherous
grandpa.
That's
the thing, everybody. Oh, no. It's fine because he votes Democrat. We'll let it. Yeah, we're lenient.
If you agree with someone, you're not going to go after them.
Right.
I'm seeing that on this. So here's the deal. Now, Mike Pence has taken on this principle, and people are saying, I'm fine if you're a businessman. You know, if you're a businessman, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it if you're in ministry. But Pence is a public official and shouldn't be taking this particular stance. Now, I grew up with this particular stance. My father and mother only eat with each other. I asked my my mother-in-law yesterday, how would you feel if your husband ate alone with another woman? She said it would never happen. I asked her mother. She was over at the house today. You know, she's, what, 85, 86, honey? Something like that? Mm-hmm. She's in her 80s.
And her husband wasn't a Christian, by the way.
Yeah, but he also would not eat alone with a woman as well.
I never even knew that was a thing.
I mean...
I never heard of it until you just mentioned it right now and I just Googled it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I grew up in conservative background. So for me, while I don't hold to this myself, a lot of people are coming out and saying that it's very sexist. And I'm going, okay, well, let's talk about it. I don't agree that it's sexist, but I will at least hear you out. Prove to me why it's sexist and what it, you know, what the sexism is. So, Ellie Flagstaff is with us here.
Hi.
My wife, Jen, is with us here as well. And then we have Bob and Dave as well. So let's talk about this if you want to talk about it. Ellie, what are your thoughts on this whole Mike Pence thing?
Well, think of how we just went out to dinner a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean... That's my stance.
Well, yeah, you might not practice it, but calling him sexist is a different thing entirely.
Right, so here's... I read an article about it and why it's upsetting to a lot of people. And I'll share that before I share, like, my personal stuff. Okay, the beer is hitting me right now. Okay, 12%. What's up? But I read an article that was talking about... there are business people saying, no, if you were a businessman, no, that wouldn't be fine. That's me.
Her food just arrived. What up, though?
All right. Yep, there's good. Thank you. Because in a business setting, I mean, a lot of things happen over dinners, over lunches, over business lunches. And if you were if in that case, it's about equity, and it's about if you were going to go out for a business meal with a male colleague and discuss business opportunities with them, you should be able to do the same thing with a woman and have it not be an issue. So in that case, I understand it. I mean, I grew up in a conservative household as well. I grew up in a conservative Christian household. And, I mean, it really depends on the situation. If you're doing it because you honor and respect your wife, if you're doing it because you... if you're taking this stance because you don't want to disrespect your wife or have anything possibly get back that could be a problem, I can understand that. If you're doing it because of what a lot of people do, which is, I just don't know if I can handle myself, then that's your problem, and it's not the woman's problem. And you're kind of pawning that off and saying, well, it's a woman, so I don't know if I'll be able to handle myself. And
like Joe Biden just, couldn't handle himself around other women.
Yeah, denying responsibility for your own actions. So there's a difference here, and frankly, I don't see a problem with the idea of not wanting to have dinner with another woman other than your wife, unless your wife is there. If that is something you consistently are holding to, if that is something that you have agreed to as a couple, if that is something that sort of reflects everything else you do with your life, if you are making shitty, piss-ass decisions regarding women in other respects, and that's also your stance, it's kind of a problem, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Jen, what do you think?
I actually am probably going to be on the minority, as you probably know. Anyhow, so I think that two things in rebuttal to what Ellie just said.
Yep.
There's some assumptions being made, I think, okay? When you're framing it as, a lot of times it's when it's a business thing, it's like a business luncheon, right? It's during working hours. Often, not always, but often. And I think by him saying he won't have dinner with, I don't think he's implying things that are about business.
Okay.
So I think that's an assumption that's made. I think he's talking about more of a, you know, casual, relational, maybe more intimate thing. And in that, I have to say I agree. I was raised very similar to Cal, so maybe it's coming out of those roots, but I think it's out of the idea that
no, you're totally fine.
What it's honoring your wife so that one, there's not the assumption from others or the appearance of other things happening. Because people assume that whatever you do in public, you do more behind scenes. So if people see...
like an iceberg situation.
Yeah, so like if people see, for example, him as a public figure out with a single woman having a dinner...
People keep calling me a public figure.
No.
How many listeners do we have, Dave?
I didn't
Calvin.
A public figure. I'm talking about Pence here.
Calvin, okay. There are more people listening to your show right now in this bar.
Than have ever listened to my show.
I'm
talking about Pence here. Pence is very much a public figure.
True story.
So you have to think about the context. And so if this man, Billy Graham, whatever, you know, they're very much under public review and public assumption. And we know in history that when you're a public figure, you have to guard against a lot of things. And so people will believe what it looks like, whether or not it's the truth, period. So I think that it's a wise decision in his regard, because if he's out to dinner, having wine, a dinner, whatever, with another woman, there's going to be there's going to be people that lash out against him and believe that there's other things going on behind a closed door somewhere. And so I think that it's, you know, we should keep it to the context of what he's talking about.
Okay.
Now, I do find it interesting that, okay, so this Billy Graham principle comes up because Billy Graham, the evangelist, walks into a hotel room, finds a naked woman in the room, and gets the hell out of there, and then creates this principle where he always had someone with him to check the room before. And, you know, I brought that up to some people, and they're like, well, come on, man. How often does that really happen? How often does that happen? I'm like, all right, well, fine. It doesn't happen all that often, right? But then those same people will turn around and say, well, Mike Pence is doing this, and it's a very heteronormative thing. It just assumes that all men only like women, but then there's a percentage of the population that's LGBT+. And I'm going, so wait a minute. So it's okay for you to base the fact that you don't think you should do this on 3.8% of the population, but when
Well, let's be honest, if anybody's going to, just historically and percentage-based speaking, if anyone's going to get caught in bed with a guy, it's going to be somebody like Mike Pence.
Yeah, it is. Very much so. Some people brought that up in conversations I was having on Facebook today. But
that's the old meme. It said that's the I guarantee a guy. Because you just wrote anti-gay legislation, he's a homo. I guarantee it.
But, no, I mean, but the thing is, it's really interesting when you are biased towards a certain viewpoint. Like, okay, so I'm a Democrat, but I'm newer to, I haven't always been a Democrat. So I can still see conservative points of view. And so when I look at conservatives, I'm going, look, I grew up this way. I can understand where this comes from. But being newer to being a Democrat, the fact that something has to be sexist, it has to be this, when it was never couched in those terms growing up, it's really hard for me to come in and hear that. And then it's another thing entirely when I have this.
If they're the other party, just remember, if they're the other party, it's bad, and if it's your party, it's good. Same thing.
Right. I posted on Facebook today.
Yeah, I saw your Bill Clinton post.
As long as you're a Democrat, it's okay.
Just try to use the "well, that's the way I was brought up" argument.
No. I'm saying I understand. I can understand the view, even though I don't hold to the view.
Okay. Can I just say that Dave?
I think we have a lot of like click mentality going on in our politics, and it's very common. Like, it's not in just one thing. But it's, like, kind of this group thought mentality. And it's no matter what you do, this is, like, the vision and the assumption, right? So it's hard for any outsider to, I think, infiltrate that and say, wait, this isn't what's going on.
Well, no, perception is always greater than reality. No,
which is why I think there's some wisdom to it.
Because of the kind of show that I do, having different points of view, I'm willing to kick the tires of both sides. Today on Facebook, I wrote this: Donald Trump, grab them by the pussy, liberals. He's a monster. Mike Pence, the only woman I eat privately with is my wife, liberals. He's a monster. Bill Clinton, hurry up, Monica. Hillary Clinton, liberals. You see, this is a great story here for anybody willing to find it and write about it and explain it. This is a vast right-wing conspiracy that has been conspiring against my husband since the day he announced for president.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start there. They tried to impeach Bill Clinton because he lied once about a blowjob, and here we are today.
Yeah. but the interesting thing is, you know, one guy says, I want to grab women by the pussy, and it ends up with a march in Washington, D.C. with thousands and thousands of women.
And then Joe Biden tries to make out with a 13-year-old, and no one says shit.
But Mike Pence says, I will only eat with my wife. And people are still saying, well, he's a monster. Like, they're elevating Mike Pence's statements of, here's how I honor my marriage, to grab him by the pussy.
Calvin, it goes back to what I said earlier. If it's their party, it's bad. If it's my party, I don't say anything. I'm tired of everyone's selective outrage. They're looking for anything to be upset about, and I hate all of them, so I'm good.
Yeah.
That's where I stand right now.
And I've told people on this, and I normally don't give my point of view, but I've told people on this particular issue, look, Mike Pence yesterday voted to defund Planned Parenthood. I'll focus on that policy. I'll focus on the fact that he's done that. I will focus on the fact that he has enacted a lot of policy initiatives that have taken rights away from women. I will focus on that.
Do you know how Planned Parenthood started?
Say again?
Do you know how Planned Parenthood started? All right.
Trust me, I'm black. I know how Planned Parenthood started.
I hope you know.
Right. Started by Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist.
Yeah, yeah.
Black, yellow, anybody who wasn't white, deleted.
Yep.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And Planned Parenthood has distanced themselves from that rhetoric, but that's how they started in it. And 90% of all Planned Parenthoods are still in urban areas. For every five black people you see, you should see seven. For every five Hispanic people you see, you should see six. That's how many people are being obliterated by Planned Parenthood. But that's another story entirely.
I don't see any in Birmingham.
You don't. Either way.
No, because their private office doctors take care of everything in Birmingham.
Regardless, this isn't a moratorium on Planned Parenthood. I will, as a supporter of the organization now, in some ways, not all of them, I will point to the legislation that he's enacting and say, hey, I don't agree with this. But him saying, hey, look, I don't eat privately with women other than my wife, I don't think that that's something that people should come in and go, he can only mean he's talking about work situations,
right,
and how many women are not given chances. I'm going, so I had a conversation with
him. I mean, you want to know how I feel about that?
Go ahead.
I think it's immature. I think it's ridiculous. If you're a businessman, you take care of business, and that deals with all anything, races, creeds, sex, religions, doesn't matter. You get business done, and you move on. And there shouldn't be a line, oh, I can't have dinner with this person because so-and-so. That's freaking, so immature.
What Pence has said is he will not do it one-on-one. And so, in that
why not?
Here's what I've seen in this situation happen. There are men who have that stance, and they say, to be consistent, I will do this in groups.
I could see if you play for the NBA and you have women trying to like say, oh, he raped me and give me $20 million.
You have businessmen who feel the same way. You have an evangelist, right, a guy who's preaching about Jesus.
He makes more than guys in the NBA.
Say again?
He makes more than the guys in the NBA.
Billy Graham doesn't make more than the guys
in the
NBA.
Yes, he does.
He's not that rich. Trust me. I've read his autobiography.
Billy Graham is dead, isn't he?
Huh?
It's all hidden.
Junior's still alive, but Billy Graham passed away.
Did Billy Graham die?
I'm pretty sure he did.
I think he's still very old and not dead.
Okay. Well,
his daughter runs everything now.
Right. His son does.
Joel Osteen makes more than half the guys in the NBA.
You don't want to talk about Joel Osteen.
Gospel, but
yeah,
that's a
but Joel
Osteen's
bullshit. Also making his fortune off his books.
Billy Graham's worth $25 million.
He's worth less than LeBron James.
Oh my
that's
God, he's
fine.
So
he's
alive.
Worth more than our bench warmer on the Pistons.
Okay. So,
okay, fine.
But, okay, I think that ultimately we don't know their marriage. Okay, we don't know their relationship between Mike Pence and his wife, really. No one does. But it's, like, it could be the, I'm going to honor my wife by doing this, and I understand the wanting to stay out of hot water situations, like wanting to not put yourself out there publicly as, whining and dining some woman, right? But it also kind of, to me, speaks of a lack of trust in some ways. That if it's just referring to private, you know, not going to go out to dinner with a woman, I understand that. If it's
I'm such a man's man that if somebody sees me out to dinner with a woman, they're just going to assume we're banging.
Yeah.
Sure, Pence.
If
sure.
you're a politician,
okay, there.
I can already tell you the headline will be, who is that woman Pence was with?
Yeah,
I
mean, people do it with, like, Hollywood all the time. Oh, they were spotty together, new relationship.
Right.
Like, it's a common thing.
And I guarantee you, because of this statement, even if Pence has changed, he said it in 2002, so Pence could have very well changed his position on this.
Oh, but he can't now.
But I guarantee you, now with the statement out there, if he's caught with a woman, what's the media going to do?
Okay.
Oh, who's this woman?
So can we talk about the big hypocrisy in the room about the fact that we don't give a shit about what Donald Trump is doing, and yet we're persecuting somebody because he won't have dinner with another woman other than his wife?
Like, did I say that?
I think that that's a total hypocrisy. Like, we don't care about this guy and all of the crazy stuff he's doing, and then the other guy tries to have his own moral stance, and we're going to say it's all kinds of things that he never said it was.
One thing I did say, and somebody pushed back on it, but I think they're full, it's all speculation, but I said, here's the deal. We all liked Obama. We all liked Obama. No, we didn't all like Obama. Not everybody liked him, but a lot of people liked Obama, and I said, you know what? People said, you know, Obama and Michelle is the closest we're going to get to Camelot, you know, to JFK and Jackie. Even though JFK was banging Marilyn Monroe in the Oval Office, right?
Right.
But they were so beautiful and we loved them. This is the closest couple we've had to that since then. And so I said, if Barack Obama came out and said, I only eat dinners privately with Michelle, we'd all be like, oh, Barack and Michelle, they're so cute. Because, you know, we're liberal.
It'd be like marriage goals, Facebook.
But we don't like Pence. As liberals, we don't like Pence. And so Pence says this, and we're like, Pence is a monster. We're going, how is he a monster? Why is he sexist? This could only be sexist, is the position that people are taking. And I had conversations with people today, and I said, you are making a a definitive truth statement. This is sexist. It can only be sexist. So it is sexist.
You got
prove it. Prove to me that women have lost job opportunities under Mike Pence. We're talking about Mike Pence. I'm not saying this has not happened in other situations, because sexism does exist in the workplace. We're going to be doing an episode about that on our next Women in Transition episode.
Can I say I remembered what I was going to say earlier, which was that it's not that I necessarily have a problem with this, his decision, his choices, his personal choices, and his choices in his marriage, but when it's and it's not necessarily that he would be using this for business dinners or that kind of thing, but there are people who are, there are businessmen, there are CEOs who are going to see this and see that this is an acceptable way to get out of having to deal with their female employees. And there are people who are...
And a lot of these businessmen already have this position.
Right. They're going to use this to justify themselves unfairly.
They've already been justifying this.
This is the reason why HR has put massive windows on executive offices and all kinds of, like, stuff, because they're trying to get rid of, you know, sexual assault cases and all kinds of, you know, in the workplace. So it's the same principle that they're already operating under, actually.
I'd be interested in having someone who works in HR on this kind of conversation.
Yeah, because I think that there is, like, something to that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if his, you know, PR person maybe even advised him, you know, to do this. I'm just putting that out there because...
But I do think it was, the dining situation. He said dining.
Yeah.
Right? So it does make me also wonder, okay, I'm sure as the Vice President of the United States, he takes private meetings in his office with a woman.
Yeah.
One-on-one. I'm sure these kinds of things happen. But even when I suggested, and this is, I guess this is the turn of the conversation for me. Agree or disagree with Mike Pence's stance, I ended up speaking with a lot of women. And because I disagreed, I was called every name in the book. I was called sexist, I was called misogynistic, and I'm going, okay, because I disagree with you, I must be these things. And this is where I feel like this show is...
Welcome to politics.
Well, I mean, even you and I have disagreements on race. I generally don't call you a racist.
No, but a lot of other people would.
A lot of other people would. I generally refrain from doing that, where I'll say, what you're saying is racist.
I've never said anything racist. Don't be doing...
No. I will say something to someone that what you're saying is racist. I don't think that makes the totality of...
Kind of like
you
saying
are.
You're acting like an asshole. Are right. you saying I'm an asshole? No, you're acting like an asshole. Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think the difficulty of conversations around feminism for me, one, coming out of a conservative background, trying to be a champion, trying to give room for women to speak on different issues, especially on my show, it's hard to say, I disagree with what you're saying right now. Not because you're a woman, I just disagree with it. And to be told, you're a sexist, you're a misogynist, you're a pig, you don't understand because I'm a woman and I'm right and it's my lived experience. Going, how can men and women have conversations around issues that affect women disproportionately and there be disagreement without men being called sexist for it?
I can't speak for everyone, and this isn't an excuse, but I know that women being oppressed for so long and seeing, I mean, been oppressed for so long, and then we get to share our experiences, and it's very easy to get really defensive. It's very easy to get really aggressive when someone disagrees with you because you're so used to it being a threat that you perceive it as a threat. And I'm not saying that's true for everyone. I'm saying that's true for me. In the days following the election, I got real aggressive. I got real defensive. I got real pissed off at anybody who would have voted for Trump. I got real...
So we were basically like kinfolk.
I was fucking livid.
He did too.
I'm still there.
And,
I'm still there.
Well, and it became like anybody would say something and I would twist it and make it into an attack on me. And they didn't intend it as an attack. Was it an ignorant statement? Yes. Were they being an idiot? Yes. But they weren't trying to actually hurt me because I knew they liked me and I knew they cared about me. And they were trying to, like, you know, quote, make me see the light, unquote. Maybe unfriended a couple people who did that, but because they just didn't get it. But I was so... When you get fired up about something, it's really easy to see everything as an attack. And some things can be microaggressions.
Right, you attack whoever's in range.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like you automatically have the claws out and you don't want to retract them because you're afraid that someone is actually going to attack you.
Right.
Again, anybody listening, I'm sorry if I misrepresented you, but this is... In my experience, this is what it's been like.
So here's the issue I do have with what Mike Pence said.
I hear that for sure, by the way.
Yeah, I agree too. But here's the issue I do have with what he said. So I do see the wisdom in it, and I actually probably would even side with agreeing with that because I do think he would be persecuted if he went out with anybody on a one-on-one situation like he's referring to.
I know I've gone out with a few people, like, it's totally cool, and then you find out, and you're like, wait,
yeah, and I'm not okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm like, excuse me,
are
you on a date? Because that's what we do on a date. No. Right. Yeah, I'm not cool with it. So I do understand that. I also have never had an issue with you having a business lunch, like when you're actually talking about things that you need to do as far as for work and stuff. So I do get that, but the issue I do have with the thought that this originates from is I think it's where a lot of feminists get upset because the very origin of this process comes out of very misogynistic, oppressive thought patterns. And I think that that's the problem that a lot of people have. For example, it comes out of the same school of thought that a woman should not provoke a man, and if she does, you know, if she does get assaulted or raped, that it was maybe her fault. And I think that it comes out of ideas like that that we've gotten so used to having to defend, and rightly so, that I think that's kind of the problem. It's rooted in this idea that women provoke, or it's rooted in this idea that if he were to have an affair, it would be a woman's fault because she had dinner with him. It's rooted in the same school of logic that says a woman needs to, you know, wear dresses down to her knees and nothing revealing.
Baggy and form-fitting.
You know, and that super conservative ideology. And I think that ideology is what we have a struggle with. I mean, I do. I was raised in certain thoughts and certain things. I'm like, that still makes sense. That's wise. But then there's other things where I'm like, it's not my fault.
No, it's not.
If I dress a certain way and somebody assaults me, it's not my fault that so-and-so can't keep it together. Like, it's not my fault. I think that's the conversation that I think provokes the anger that we have with even a sentiment that maybe even seems rational. Because we don't like the root of where it's coming from and the associations of where it's coming from. And with that, I completely... I resemble that, and I relate to that, and I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if people, again, have said, this is rooted, which means it got its start in misogyny. Whereas I would say that some of these practices got their start or their roots in patriarchal societies, for sure. But I'm a historian, and so when I look at patriarchal societies, and you know, obviously I'm a man, so some people are automatically not going to accept this from me. So I would ask to hear me as a historian, knowing what I know about history, especially ancient Semitic history, ancient Middle Eastern history, where a lot of this stuff comes from. We're talking about the religious underpinnings of a lot of it. There is a lot of, when it comes to the patriarchal societies, a lot of things were done. Yes, women were property, but also there was this idea of men protecting women. Men hedging women in. And so in our culture, there are things like chivalry. We hear all the time, chivalry is dead. some men are like, yeah, chivalry's dead because women killed it. And some women are like, chivalry's dead because men are lazy, right? And so it kind of goes back and forth. For instance, when I was in college, I had a girlfriend named Amanda. And I, quote-unquote, trained her to never touch a door. It was always my honor to open the door for her. Right? To the point that when I wasn't with her, she would just stop and stand there and wait for someone to open the door and forget. And then she was like, she told me this later, she's like, one, I was standing there today waiting for someone to open the door, and I just remembered I can open this door myself. But it was just kind of this interesting thing. That, but
that's kind of sleeping with the enemy, Calvin. just so we're clear.
So
that I had her trained this way. No, I mean, but she adored that. For me, it was an honor, and I always told her, you know what? I know you can get your own door. I know you are fully capable of doing this, but it's my honor to do it for you. You don't need me to do it, because when I'm not around, you can get your own door. But she was so used to men opening the door for her that she would wait for men to show up to do it. Not because she was incapable, but because it was an honor for men to do so. And so it's just kind of this weird thing. But on the other side of it, this 20% is getting to me.
I know.
Well,
like,
we've got 20 more minutes.
Okay, all right. I can go. I can
sip.
Do this.
Sip slowly.
No, on the one side, I think that there's this idea of chivalry, and there's this other side that chivalry really kind of has gone the way of the dinosaur, in that men don't know what they can do. For instance, I would take a break.
Calvin's blowing into the breathalyzer.
You go on.
I got to blow on this thing again. And by that, I mean a breathalyzer.
That's what she said. Yeah.
Zeroing out.
All right, we're going to try this again.
There you go.
See, he's full of just that much hot air.
Either way. Yeah, that much hot air. When I was out of college, I was no longer dating that young lady. It was before I was dating Jen. I would do the online dating thing.
Right.
And I would ask for women to meet me in a neutral location, and I would offer to pay for their meal. And a lot of these women would say, no, I can pay for my own meal. I have this. I'm an independent woman. And after several conversations, I realized it was, if I pay for their meal, they're used to guys expecting something for it. I pay for your meal, so this meal is worth, your vagina.
Dude, I'll take free food any day.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to buy me dinner, you can come buy me dinner.
But
I don't care.
So, but there are a lot of guys who are afraid to be chivalrous.
Yeah.
Because women are independent, women are strong, women can make their own way in the world. But I also feel that the more conversations I have with women, they also feel like something is lost. I keep hearing, where are all the real men? From women who are looking for men.
Because we don't want somebody who's, like, weak. I mean, if you're a strong woman, you want a strong, at least in my opinion, I am a strong woman, and I wanted a strong man. Now, sometimes... Yep.
But a lot of strong men will come along and go, I'm not even going to offer to pay for this because I don't want her to be like, I'm a strong woman.
Hey,
I can pay for my own stuff.
Let me speak.
It's not an excuse.
Okay. All right.
So I wanted a strong man. Now, sometimes that means...
Did you get one?
We're both strong and we butt heads.
She didn't answer. Did she answer?
Depends.
Did you get it? Yeah, depends on the day, right?
No, so sometimes it means that it's frustrating because we're both strong-headed. And we both have our own ideas, and, you know. But I didn't want somebody who was just weak, you know. I still wanted that, like, strength, you know. As a strong, independent person, I didn't want somebody who would just be a follower to what I was doing. I wanted somebody who would do life with me. So I think that the idea that men don't know what to do because of feminism, I think it's a little bit of a cop-out. I do, because I personally have not run into that. I think that the ones that did do that, they were looking for an excuse. Because the woman kind of dictates and gives you I think those cues. Like, I know women who I would probably not advise a man to open the door for, right? And I know women who would think it was kind. I think that a woman gives away those cues as to what is acceptable and approachable right. for her. And I think that if you're not catching it, like, that's not her fault. Like, that is at the that is the one of the few times that I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to do that labor for you. Like, I am a woman who I'm okay if you open the door for me. I'm also okay opening it.
Yeah.
You know? But I will never give off the I will never give off the sense that I'm gonna like bite your head off because you opened the door for me. Now, there are certain things I might call out, but I think a woman to a woman, each woman's different, and I think each woman gives maybe verbal or nonverbal cues, and I think that it's not our fault if you don't get it.
Now, okay.
I agree.
So here's the other question. Okay, so
I feel like that needs to be part of this discussion.
Could be worse.
That we're here at Falling Down Beer Company.
We are here at Falling Down Beer Company. I took the breathalyzer.
You've had one of their anniversary ales, and you just blew a .08.
I am officially above the legal limit.
I want to take it.
This is how he rolls.
Calvin's was 20%.
But I am not done, son. Okay, so here's the other question, though.
Do you not know how to read one woman versus the other on what is acceptable for them?
We don't always know because a person can be cool on so many things and then totally not on another. And
okay, so if somebody bites your head, okay, if somebody bites your head off over opening the door, what do you say back?
Wait, what?
If you open the door and a woman gives you a hard time about it, what do you say back? What is your rebuttal?
I'm sorry, you high maintenance bitch.
I push her out of the way, push her back out of the room, close the door, and let her open it for herself.
Do you open doors?
I always do.
I thought you did, and I know he does.
I absolutely do. Okay. I open doors.
Dude, I was raised in an old school Italian family.
I open doors for my grandma.
I date my daughter so that she knows.
Better step up.
Guys, better open the door for her. She should know that guys should pay for things for her if they ask her out for her time and not expect anything in return. I want my daughter to know what she should expect from a man. So I take my daughter on dates so that when she gets to these boys who want to pretend to be men, she can go, no, that's not how this is supposed to work. That's not how I roll.
No, so
move on.
I had some of the reverse of that. Like, men who, because they didn't have to, like, do all of these things, you know, sometimes it's in this gray zone, right? Where you go on a date and you're like, this is very clearly a date, but you don't know, like, what to expect as a woman. And then they're able to date you.
Let's be honest. Okay, reality 101. If you get her home and she's wearing matching underwear, you weren't the one that decided you were having sex that night.
No, but okay, so even... So I wasn't a just get home first date kind of girl.
Dave is always lowering the bar on this.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Dave's probably not wrong.
I wasn't a get home first date kind of girl.
Just in case.
But they always matched. What I was going to say is that I think that I would have the opposite, where I would date this guy and have a full-blown relationship. And this was more in the conservative circle, so it might not apply to the liberal side. But then they would be like, well, you know, where we're praying about it, we're friends, or whatever, like this not defined thing. And I think that's bull, too. Like, step up, be a man, claim what the heck you're doing is what it is, and own it.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like it could go both ways.
So let's take a couple minutes. I want to talk about this idea of emotional labor for a minute. You know, okay. You both know what emotional labor is,
yes.
Right? Okay, so emotional labor, for those of you who are listening and don't know, but have listened to the show enough, you probably have heard it, but emotional labor is, I am part of an oppressed group, I am part of a traumatized group, you want to know about that, you're coming to me asking about it, but it's not my job to tell you that and take on more trauma to explain to you how you're being sexist, racist, homophobic, misogynist, put your ist on the end of it. It's not my job to share with you how you're being these things. Now,
well, then you're just assuming that I know.
Okay, now that I agree with you, Dave. Here are my thoughts on emotional labor, and I'd like to get you, the ladies' thoughts on this as well. Emotional labor to me is, I'll just be honest, I think it's bullshit. Right, not taking on emotional labor, and here's why. Because, for instance, misogyny, rape culture. Men have created a culture and codified this culture to the point that we don't see that it's sexist when we ask a woman, well, what were you wearing? How much did you have to drink? Now, there's a culture that keeps asking these kinds of questions over and over and over again. Hey, what were you doing wrong that the cops stopped you? You know, why were you in
that neighborhood, Calvin?
Why didn't you comply with the police when they asked for your identification? You know, so there's the racism thing, there's the sexism thing that we apply to people. And so when I ask women, I mean, the racism thing, I am willing to take on emotional labor to educate people about their inability to see white privilege. The system is so in favor of you. I will take on the emotional labor to show you the contours of that. But I do meet a lot of, but I also meet a lot of black people who won't do that. Like, look, Google it. Google is a thing. I feel outside of relationship, Google, you can read stuff and it's just these cold, hard facts and you don't have to do anything with them, right? But I do meet a lot of women who don't want to relive trauma, don't want to take on any emotional labor, but are more than willing to say, you're sexist, you're misogynist. And when I ask questions, because like you said earlier, you know, you're on the defensive and you're used to questions being hostile, right? You're going to get attacked in a minute. There are a lot of women who just said, I will not take on the emotional labor. Just Google this shit, read a book. And I'm going, Ellie, you're my friend. I'm asking you as a friend. I don't want to attack you. I might not agree with you. I'm going to ask a lot of questions that come from a place of disagreement. But that doesn't mean I'm your enemy. I want to genuinely understand. And if I walk away understanding you more, still disagreeing, but still understanding you more, that's better than me just disagreeing and not understanding. So, at least in my book. So, if there is a system codified for men to the point that we are blind to...
Kind of like white privilege.
Blind. Yeah. I already said that. Blind to how patriarchy benefits us, how being a man benefits us. Why is it okay for women to say, I will not take on the emotional labor of educating you, and then still vilify you for not being educated on the topic?
Again, I don't have all the answers, but I can give you my personal, how I would be okay with not going through the emotional labor to explain something, which would be, you know, first of all, sometimes these questions get asked in a completely inappropriate environment.
Okay.
And like at a cocktail party, at a dinner party, no, you should not have to go through the emotional labor of educating someone in that place.
Wrong place, wrong time.
In the middle of an interview, in the middle of a show, no, you shouldn't have to go through that. This is something that you do one-on-one. This is something that, you know, hey, I've been wanting to talk to you about this, or maybe I call you out on something and say, you know, I can't talk about this right now, but can we talk about this at some point? Or can you read this? Can you look up this, Google this, and then if you still have questions, we'll talk about it. I think sometimes people try to put the emotional labor on someone who is not ready to do it.
That
they're
I can
not,
see too.
They're not ready. Like, they can't handle it. Right. Me, I'm not the person. Sometimes where, like, it's the same with like being an emotional rock for someone. Sometimes you are in that place where you can be the emotional rock and you can be there, and sometimes you have to take care of your own shit.
So in that case, is it probably good for the person asking someone else to do some emotional labor to have a certain emotional IQ, you know, emotional intelligence to
you
go,
really,
okay, this person's in a place where they can call me names, but they're not, and I have to accept that, but they're not in a place where they're ready to take on talking about why things are the way they are.
Generally tired.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're tired. We're so tired of having to relive this and go over it and over it and over it, and we just don't want to explain it to one more person and have to rehash it from the beginning for one more person. When it gives us a break to say, hey, can you do this first and then we can talk? Or what were you going to say?
I was just going to jump on to that and say that I also think that sometimes, this isn't everybody, but I think sometimes we live in this and we experience it, but I think not everybody is adequately aware or capable enough of explaining all of the history of it. And not to minimize everybody to that, but I feel like there's a lot of times where you've experienced it, but maybe you don't know the history or that, like, you know, sometimes people believe things and they know them.
Right.
But they don't always know how to break that down in the history lesson.
Yes. And there's a lot of pressure that if you're explaining it, then they're going to take that. And if they find something wrong with it, then they're going to pin it back on you.
Right. Like, are you just going to throw this out? You know what? I don't remember so-and-so's name and so-and-so's name. Just Google that. Like, I think sometimes that happens.
Now, if I give you grace in that area, which I think should be given. Look, if you're in a place where you're tired and you're angry, but you can't take on any more emotional labor, okay, I can give a person grace in that.
Is that maybe a call to, like, just accept that my experience is my experience and enough, maybe?
I can accept that your experience is your experience. What I don't have to do is accept that your experience will be the future experience for all other people.
Okay.
And I've gotten that a lot in the conversation surrounding Mike Pence, because this has been my experience in the workplace.
I think that
I am assuming that Mike Pence is talking about the workplace, then this is the only result that can happen in the workplace based on what Mike Pence has said and based on my experience.
I think the collective is sometimes a better indicator of things than the individual. But I think there's enough stories. Kind of like, okay, so there might be one case where you're like, that guy didn't comply with the police, if we're like referring to an example, right? And people want to discount all of the other stories because this guy, like, you post that story and people are like, see, he should have just complied, right? Unfortunately, that gets the limelight. And I think it does the same thing with, you know, feminism, right? There's like the story where, okay, this happened and it's discounted all the others. But there's enough stories that say there's a problem here. There's a problem and we need to address it. And I think that's what women want people to see. It's not one story. It's a lot of stories of a lot of little things and big things.
What I'm asking is if men need to give women grace in the area of, okay, you're tired, you're beaten down, I don't want to take on the emotional labor, I can give you grace. Is it fair to ask for grace from women to the men who genuinely can't see, want to see? And I know there's something that...
We give grace every day. Not lying. We give grace every day.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm asking in a specific instance here. Okay?
No, but I'm saying...
Because men give grace as well.
But we give it every day.
Right. Men and women both give grace every day. Okay? And different things. What I'm saying is, in this particular instance, where men are asking for, help me understand, and women just can't do it in those moments, can women give men the grace that, because no one has explained it to me, I do not know? How can a person know unless a teacher explains it to me?
I think that at that point, it's probably best for that man to say to that woman and say, you know, I genuinely want to understand. I understand if right now is not the right time, but would you be willing to help teach me? I think that, like, being teachable is really important.
Right.
And I think if you did that, most women would go...
But men need to be willing to accept the answer no as well.
Yes, they do. Yes. But I think that there is that legit response to say, I'm really wanting to learn.
Right. And I think my teacher ears started ringing when you said, how can I learn unless someone teaches me? This is where we have failed a little bit, because we should be, as an educator, we try to teach kids to be lifelong learners, not lifelong students who need a teacher to teach them. You should be able to, we live in an age where there's no excuse to not know what something is. We have the internet at our disposal. So, yes, you do need the personal interaction. Yes, you need that relationship to help you understand something. But it should not fall, never, no matter if they said they will help you and they will go through the emotional labor, it is never their responsibility to teach you. It is your responsibility as a learner, because we all learn things.
Right, and
we
should be able to,
and as a grown person, to figure out what exactly your questions are, look them up for yourself, and then if you still are not understanding something after you've done your own work, it's kind of like the ask three then me principle in elementary school. You look around, you try to find your answer. If you're still not understanding it, or maybe you do find your answer and you want to make sure that it's that you understand it correctly, then come to someone about it.
Right.
But it's like that. It's like when I was first researching how to do cosplays, there was a cosplayer who was like, hey, don't send me all these questions, people on my page, about like how to make things. Look, do your research first and then come see me. I'm not going to do it for you.
Right. It's, well, you're already informed. Right.
I'm simplifying it way too much, yeah. But it's the same thing. Do your own, like... And maybe that means, you know, figuring out, hey, what should I be looking up? What should I be asking about?
See, as a man, that's very frustrating.
There's
because
college and community courses on, like, all of this.
Well, sure.
I'll
take another one of those 50%, please.
Okay, yes.
So here's why that's frustrating to me, okay? Why that's frustrating is because I will come to app. I will ask someone, you know, can you help me? I think comparing, you know, how do I make my costume to help me understand misogyny, two totally different areas.
Right, no, right? I understand. Yeah.
Making a costume, I can get a 12-year-old on YouTube to show, hey, here's how you put this stuff together.
Well, you can find a Tumblr post to help you understand misogyny.
Right, but...
Not wrong, where's the lie? Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Continue.
I find it hard when you come with questions and someone tells you, I'm not gonna help you learn how to do this. And no, hold on. I want you to go online. Okay, so I did this. Okay, around the topic of feminism. So I ended up going and getting a few books on feminism.
Right.
Based on people telling me, I'm not gonna do the emotional labor for you. You go get some books. Plenty has been written on it. And you know, YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and whatever else, the internet's all there, Google. And then I go get books, and I post some pictures online. Hey, I got these books to kind of help me get started in understanding feminism. Then those same people will come back and go, I wouldn't have gotten that book. Well, now,
and
hold on a second. Yeah. At this point, I want to call them the B
there's
word or the C word, because I'm going, you wouldn't help me. And then I go try to do something on my own because you told me to do that. And then I get it, and you're like, no, that's the wrong one. So it's like hotter, colder, hotter. Just tell me where to go.
And there's,
tell
and
me
there's,
what to do.
There's the difference.
There's different sects of feminism, too. Like, there's different, like, there's first, second, third wave, right? So there's all
different. Yeah, I understand
types.
The history of feminism.
So depending on that person, they might say that represents a different, you know, wave that maybe they fall into, which is fine. But I was going to just put this out there. I think that you are probably a bit of an exception, because you try to immerse yourself in a lot of topics and actually read and educate yourself. So when you say it, you're saying it for
I
the podcast.
Everybody's like me.
But
though,
you're
so.
No, but you, they're not.
Right,
you're not. You're doing it for the podcast. You're doing it for a deeper understanding. You're doing all these things. Now, the problem where we get tired in it is I get tired every day when I have a realtor call me and try to push me and almost almost bully me because I'm a woman.
Or when I get an oil change.
And then call me, you know, hey, sweetie, can't you just blah, 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 and try to demean me? Those are every day. You've heard that.
But no, I don't want
to
do that.
You shouldn't have to.
She takes care of her business. It's hilarious when I listen to her take care of business on the phone with guys like that.
We have those interactions every day. Every day. And so the problem is that when somebody who, like you, wants to go even deeper, that's when that person's tired. Now, I go deeper with you because I know where you're coming from. But I would challenge you back to say you're probably a bit of an exception. And that's a good thing. So don't, like, people are tired because that's what they deal with all day. Just like you deal with microaggressions of racism all day. And sometimes you just say, you know what? No. You know? It's not the same, but it's very similar in that regards.
Okay?
And I think that sometimes you need to, one, let time go. Let that person realize.
I feel like this just became counseling for my wife, right?
Kind of
no, but
did.
Realize where just you are, that. You know, and where you've come from. And, you know, sometimes that person is healing and growing in their own process. And they might not be the right tree for you to bark up and ask. You know, there's bad, good, and better resources, right? So there is that person out there. There is that educator. There are options for the people who really want to know. But don't let the one person who's tired, maybe they had a bad day, derail your whole drive to understand.
And there's always going to be somebody who has a problem with something that you do.
Yes. You're not going to please everybody.
If you don't have enemies, you're not doing it.
There's actually a proverb about that.
You're doing everything right.
Not to be religious, but there's actually a proverb that says, woe to him who all men like. Like, if everybody likes you, you're probably standing for nothing.
Like Aaron Burr.
I'm just saying. So, I mean, you can't try to please everybody and make everybody like you. Because if you're doing that, you're probably wishy-washy. You're probably standing for nothing. So I've always remembered that. Woe to him who all men like. Like, I'm not supposed to have everybody like me. I am supposed to stand for something. I'm supposed to have myself like me and for those around me that matter. You know, to at least most of the time like me. I might aggravate them from time to time. This is my 2 cents.
Right. Okay. I think as far as going back to the emotional labor, I think that you are doing what you can. And I think that going and trying to understand those things more and saying, okay, well, you had a problem with this. What was the problem? Where would you direct me to go now? And asking questions, because don't take them seriously if they can't, you know, give you someplace to go. Because I wouldn't just say, I'm not going to do that for you. I would say, you know, go ask this person, go talk, go look up this. That's what a good teacher does. Mm-hmm. They give you resources.
Right.
And, you know, if someone is going to talk to me about why they think that, you know, modern pop music is better than the Beatles, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to do that labor for you. Go listen to this. Go watch this. Go read this. That's what I do as a teacher. If my students have a question for me about a project, I don't just say, figure it out on your own. We are all teachers. We are all lifelong learners. We're all lifelong teachers. We have to help each other. And if we're not, and sometimes that means, no, you can't do the emotional labor. You're not in the place where you can. But if you're going to call someone out and say that's wrong, you should be able to say, here's why and here's what you can do to fix it.
And that's where my contention lies.
At least as far as, and maybe it doesn't mean explaining the whole history of everything,
right.
But here's some resources for you.
Right. I think, yeah, if you're willing to call someone out, and they ask you to help me understand or why, even if it's pushback, aggressive pushback, whatever, if you're going to call somebody wrong and then not explain why, I feel like you lose the right to be upset when they continue to make the same mistakes.
Dude, it's no different than I've told every tech lead that I've had in the past 15 years. If you've thought about it long enough to come to me and tell me that shit's broken, you've thought of at least 2 ways it could be better. don't bitch, solve.
Right.
I think I would say sometimes it is a cop-out, because sometimes, to be real, when somebody says I won't do the emotional label for you, that's probably either, it is sometimes that they're tired. That is legit sometimes. However, sometimes it might be that they don't maybe know how to form that argument. I would go back.
When people are debating me, and I was the captain of my debate team.
You're very adequate in that area, and some people might be intimidated by it. But I would go back, and have you gone back and said, "Okay, I understand that. I hear you. What is a good book you would recommend?"
I'm not gonna lie. The first time that someone says, "I'm not gonna do the emotional labor for you," I'm probably gonna smack them upside the back of the head for being a condescending prick, because that's how that comes across. It's like, you know, you're not worth my time.
Then why are you looking for the validation from them?
No, because if it's like, if there's something, like if you're going to come to me and tell me that I'm wrong, and I'm going to say, okay, clue me in why, and I get, I'm not going to do the emotional labor for you, I'm going to tell you to GFY. It's that simple.
Here's usually where I've seen it happen, though.
See, it bugs
him
after the fact.
I've seen...
It doesn't bug you after the fact. There's a difference.
Not that they'll come up to... It's I feel like you can't use emotional labor with someone who doesn't understand it. If
you want to see his breathalyzer,
you can't just like I can't use.
we got beers coming to the table again.
You have to use accessible words. You have to use accessible language.
Pause. Cheers.
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 To falling down.
To emotional labor. Lubricant.
Fourth anniversary and emotional labor. Continue, Ellie.
I feel like there are going to be people who are pissed at me for saying, but. That is good. That is very
It'll
good.
It'll get you drunk!
Yeah.
You might even fight a nigga, too!
I feel like you can't use the terms emotionally. You can only use the terms with people for whom they make sense. If you're saying, I'm not going to do that emotional labor for you, and someone doesn't understand what that means, then they're not going to care. And they're going to think you're an asshole. If you're using it with someone who does understand it, then there's a possibility that they might not think you're an asshole. If you're using it just as a cop-out to say, because you're tired, then give that explanation.
Say I'm tired.
Say I'm tired and I don't want to talk about this right now. Or, you know, I've been dealing with this for a long time.
And at that point, the guy needs to understand to back off.
Yeah.
Because we had your cousin on one of our episodes, and she said a guy accosted her after a class.
Yep.
And so when a woman says, I'm tired, guys, you do need to at least, whether you want to deal with it or not, whether he thinks you're an asshole or not, if a woman says, no, I don't want to talk about this, I'd say no means no in that as well. So,
yeah. You know, to be honest.
Let her finish. I didn't interrupt.
No, and I think using the term emotional labor could so easily a buzzword that doesn't actually that will start to not mean anything, like mansplaining.
Yep.
Emotional labor can just become one of those things where people just say, oh, well, I'm not going to do
that. We'll talk about mansplaining next.
Oh, we already talked about it. Didn't we talk about it? We talked about it in December.
On a different episode,
I want to talk about it in this one, too.
But I don't know. I don't remember where I was going, but basically, like, you have to try and use accessible language for the people that you're talking to.
Yeah, because it does sound like it's coming out of the ivory tower, doesn't it? Like,
it does.
So the guy working as a mechanic, if you say, I'm not taking on the emotional labor, he's going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's a good term, but you have to understand what it means. It's a thorough term. It means what it is. It's like, it is emotional labor.
Right.
If I'm going to explain to you why I don't, why my issues with rape culture, that brings up a whole slew of bullshit in my mind, or my issues with like mental illness, I have to be prepared for that. That is like when I was on Passersby, that was emotional labor for me. I talked about a lot of things and I was prepared for it. I wanted to do that. If you're going to, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him do emotional labor.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I know I just called women horses, but I'm sorry.
Well, it's kind of like, okay, so sometimes my husband's an internal processor, and I'm an external processor. And sometimes I'll be like, you know, I'll ask him a question. He'll be like, I don't know yet. I think sometimes emotional labor is almost like the preparing for that, right? So it's like, let me get my head in the right space, and then I can talk to you, right? So sometimes, you know, maybe there's other stuff going on. But I also want to put this out there that this might be horrible, and I apologize, but my husband, when he first heard me on the phone give shit to somebody, he was like, I've never seen you do that. Like, I've never seen the side of you. And he was little, he was like, oh, you know, he was all like, oh my God. So he had been dating me for years and never saw this side. So here's the thing.
It made me genuinely scared.
Huh?
For that guy.
What'd you say?
It made me genuinely scared for that guy.
Good.
But like, my point is, sometimes, I'm not going to lie, sometimes that might be a cop-out for somebody because, you know what, I could put you on your ass, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to berate you. I don't want to maybe make you look like an idiot or a fool.
That's a good point.
And so sometimes you're just being an idiot or you don't even know it, and I don't want to berate you because I know maybe that you're well-intended. So sometimes there's a caveat to that that maybe should be taken privately because maybe there's something like that going on because you actually genuinely care and want to learn. Not everybody wants to do that. But sometimes it's also a form, believe it or not, of respect to say, listen, I'm not going to do this here.
So,
you know, so just putting that out there.
So let's talk about the mansplaining thing for a second here. No, I mean, okay, so, Bob, I want you in on this one for a second. We're going to talk about mansplaining for a minute. I'm going to explain to these ladies what mansplaining... No,
first you've got to start with a trip to the well,
you see. No, so mansplaining.
Wait, did Ken just make an appearance? Did Ken just make an appearance?
That's another one.
Well.
What mansplaining is?
Yes.
It's basically when men decide to explain something to women because they think women are stupid.
Well,
the women get what the men were already talking about.
It originated with a woman coined it because she was being lectured about her own special subject area and like her own book by a man who assumed she didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. You clearly don't know. Well, they're not mansplaining at oil change places to me. I don't know shit about that stuff.
Did it, by the way.
It's like a male... It's okay, I'm a music teacher. I've been a music teacher for 5 years. It would be like if an undergrad male student assumed that because I'm a female that I've never conducted a choir or that I've never conducted and I don't know anything about that and starts...
Talk really slow and loud because that's going to make them understand English.
Oh my God, that's exactly right.
It's
that's
when you talk to us like we're a preschooler.
Yeah. Now, my wife sometimes does this to me because she used to work with people with special needs and she took on a voice of people with special needs.
Hey, do I do that anymore?
She doesn't do it anymore.
Okay, I did it.
But I'm like, why are you talking to me like I have special needs?
I would do it right after I got off the shift with them. They'd be like, why are you talking to me in that voice still?
Like in the sing-songy baby voice.
I got a quick story, Calvin.
Go ahead.
I'm in Salzburg, Austria with my dad and my mom. We're at a brewery that was built in the 1400s by monks. Same tables. Places like legend. You walk in, you grab a ceramic sign off the wall. They have a fountain. Then you wash it off, and back of the day it was water. Now it's motion detected, the fountain comes out.
Okay.
And I'm washing my mug out. I'm going to go give it. You only get beer or beer. Those are your choices.
Okay. Beer or beer?
Yeah.
Got it.
You got the light beer or the dark beer?
No, that's beer or beer. There wasn't even wheat beer here. You got what they gave you. And the guy looks at me straight in the face. Says it in English. Do you know how to turn on the water? Really loud. Yeah, you put it under the water.
Da! Is beta! Is beta! You should have answered back in German loudly and slowly.
So, okay.
That's essentially mansplaining.
So, the mansplaining thing, I understand getting called out on mansplaining when men are doing it. A lot of men are assholes. I think this pretty little thing over here doesn't know what she's talking about. So let me explain to her her area of expertise, yes. Right?
Sweetie is the equivalent of calling you a boy.
Right, yeah.
Like they, and it's specifically, it's in the situation where they don't know more about the subject than the woman does, but they're trying to explain it as if they
right.
did. Like,
now,
like they read, oh, I read this article about this, okay. So I know more than you, even though that's your field of study.
So Thursday night, I'm down at the Penobscot with one of our new shows, one of the developers from Detroit Labs. She's an iOS developer. She literally wrote the book
yep.
on this one oh. section of iOS development.
I bet she's had to deal with a bunch of shit.
And one of the guys in the office literally tried to mansplain to her.
That's it. That's
about
exactly
what,
it.
She's like, you don't understand. I literally wrote the book on this topic.
It's 463 pages
of why you need to
that STFU. Happens to me all the time in
notes.
Real estate.
Just
all the time in real estate. I'm like, I could write 10 offers around your one.
We keep interrupting. Ellie,
oh,
continue.
Hi. No, I was just making masturbatory motions because that's all that it is.
Okay. So here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. When we've been talking a lot about, you know, Mike Pence and feminism and emotional labor. So then the question that comes out of it for me is, when it comes to disagreeing with women, disagreeing with black people, disagreeing with gay people, disagreeing with people who are in the minority, who have a lived experience, is it all right to say that someone is mansplaining or racist or homophobic because they disagree with someone who is a woman, someone who is black, or someone who is gay?
Can I say it is almost never because they're disagreeing? If you're using the term mansplaining because someone disagrees with you, you've completely misunderstood the term. If you're using the term mansplaining because someone is explaining something to you in a condescending way that shows that they don't actually understand it better than you, and they think they do, that's correct. But you can, and people will complain. People complain that the term, when I used it, I was using it on Facebook right after the election.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I was using it on Facebook, and someone said, well, I think the term mansplaining is just as bad as what that guy was doing to you when you said he was mansplaining. And he said, well, it's a sexist term. And I said, well, come up with a different term then so I can use that. But you could come up with any term you want, and they'll never agree with it.
Right.
If you disagree with someone and you call them out on it, you can give it any name you want, and they're not going to like it. It doesn't matter. So
right.
mansplaining,
it's like changing the term white privilege. No matter what you say,
right.
no matter what word you give it, people are going to hate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard that episode.
Yeah. So then the reason I'm asking is because of my experience today and last night talking about this Mike Pence thing, right? So I would say something, and person would disagree with me. It was mostly women who were disagreeing with me, right? Because maybe I was in their safe space, and I should have just left well enough alone, because it was really just a place where it was an echo chamber. It's an echo chamber of belief. We all believe the same things, and we want to see who can be most right about
where
this.
Where were you saying this?
It was on Facebook.
It was on Facebook.
It was
on your
thread,
Facebook
on public
post?
Threads. It was a thread of a friend.
Okay.
So, and there are multiple people commenting. I'm friends with the person. She's been on my show. Love her to death. Moshkan Rajaish. Fantastic. She was on our episode about climate change. She was on our episode about what's going on at Standing Rock in season one. So, you know, decent friend of mine. I hope to have her on in the Women in the Workplace episode as well. Someone I respect greatly. Very, very, very smart woman. I happen to disagree with her and a lot of the women on this particular thread about Mike Pence and his particular stance. So she had gone to bed, so most of the people that I was interacting with on this
were people that you didn't know.
Say again?
Were people that you didn't know?
People I didn't know on
yeah.
this wall.
Okay.
But they're all kind of within the same liberal circles, at least within Facebook, so I've seen them right. before and talked to them before.
Right.
So either way, we're talking, and I disagree with this stance about Mike Pence having to, this coming from a position of sexism. And these women would explain to me why they thought it was rooted in sexism, and I would say, hey, or what it would lead to, and I said, okay, I need you to give me some cases of Mike Pence only eating with men, giving them positions of power, and then women not getting those opportunities.